Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, publisher of Schneps Media, and today my Power Women podcast has an extraordinarily powerful woman that I've delightedly gotten to know so well, Trish Gather. Trish is the CEO of the Carmelite System, and she's going to talk to you about how she has evolved this very precious world of nuns who have chosen to be in the Carmelite world. And so, Trish, welcome. I'm so glad to have this little girl from Winston, Pennsylvania, who's now the CEO of a major, I mean, if you counted the money, how big is the your bucket of money you have to watch over between your properties and your services? Yes.
Right now, our size is about $350 million. We have 13 communities that are across 7 states in the United States and also one in Ireland. We're still very fortunate. I think one of our best and most precious resources that we still have 115 Carmelite sisters of the age for the aged and infirm. And so we're so blessed to have them as well, working in our ministries and really leading us. So I've been very, very fortunate with their mentorship.
Well, you know, I think I'm a big believer that you make your fortune. It doesn't come to you. But you have great roots. I love the story you told me about your mom and her influence on you when she was postmaster of your town. Would you talk a little bit about your roots and your, I mean, may I say your inspiration?
Oh, absolutely. And she truly was this fantastic woman. And I had the privilege of watching her from afar, but she was the mother of 6 children. I was the baby and the girl, and there was quite a distance. And those boys kept her quite busy. They were very, very ornery. But once she got to the point where I was ready for kindergarten, she became the postmaster of the local town. And so I call her Postmaster Pat in my little story that I sent you. But as a child, I really watched how she really was like the town mayor, even though she wasn't the town mayor. We didn't even have a mayor. It was a small little village, and she organized the Christmas parade, which I thought was wonderful because Santa Claus was at the end of it. So that was pretty exciting. And, you know, she just was very, very engaged with the community. And I saw her really emerging as a community leader. And in retrospect, now as I've grown older, she always had a pulse on, you know, things that matter to other people, if they were going through difficulties or wonderful things, because as the postmaster, you'll see if a bill's coming in from the hospital or something else. And she never broke anything. You know, she was always discreet, but she always was helping people. And so she always, I remember walking in and she'd be there chatting with the people. And that sometimes meant that she had to work a little longer before she could come home. But I really thought that that was wonderful. And then as she continued, she actually became Postmaster of the Year of the United States. Wow. And how she did that is she really started to engage in the legislative side of matters that were important to the postal workers. And so she emerged to meet a lot of congressmen. And the thing is, my mom never had a lot of money, but she could cook. So I don't know if you know about Western Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania Dutch cooking, but my mom was an amazing cook and baker. And so she used to have these pie containers that was like a wicker basket, and she would have peach pie. And that's how she won over Arlen Specter, John Hines, even Joe Biden. And I'm telling you, she would have given pumpkin pie or whatever to Donald Trump too. I'm not being political. She just knew a way to get to people's heart was through their stomach. And I would always remember how they would be like, oh, here comes Pat, you know? And so, you know, she used the skills that she had to really make a difference in the community. And it was such an honor to see her rise to that level. And it taught me so much about integrity. And some of those things we'll talk about in a little bit later, but that's really what it was, is that she had a trust with the community, and she also had to be a leader to give voice to things for people that she worked with, as well as just the community in general. So she was a great mom, and I'm so glad you asked me, because Mother Day is coming up, and I always miss her. She was an amazing person.
Well, you know, it's also a very big lesson how sometimes you don't have to be told what to do. All you have to do is watch what I do. And exactly. That is really, you know, so true with your mom. And, you know, you've evolved into this very critically important position as CEO of the Carmelite System. Tell us about what you're up to now in terms of the system. And what does the system do? What is your responsibility?
Well, you just gave me the chills, because I'm so excited about what's going on with the Carmelite System. And once again, it's our Carmelite sisters who are being so courageous, because they're putting their foot out to an area that's so important. Many of you may know that there's a lot of properties that the Catholic Church owns, and they often go up for sale, and because they outlive their purpose or their usefulness as they're currently structured. And so I had this concept delivered to me in 2008 by Sister Caritas, who was a Sisters of Providence sister, and she came up to me and she grabbed my arm and she said, "Finance person," because I was a finance person, and nuns don't always like finance people. But she came up to me and she said, "Finance person, you got to preserve the Catholic footprint in post-acute services." And it shook me. And so I always kept that in the back of my mind, but it also opened my eyes that I really needed to start to help all of these other congregations who, in post-acute services, often didn't have the best billing practices. Like they billed accurately, but they didn't always bill for all the services that they should have been getting paid for. So I really started to hone those skills. So today, this has now evolved into Carith. And Carith is a word, it means charity. And what we're doing is we're preserving the Catholic footprint by working with within canon law and with the church. We're also aligning with some very bright minds at Notre Dame University, and we're coming up with methods of how we can make sure that the purpose of these properties and all the communities across the United States remain there and get properly purposed for the community need to meet the need where they are now, especially for the disenfranchised. And I don't know if people really know that that's a big component of why Catholic healthcare exists. So, for instance, I think in my story, I said, what would have happened if my mom couldn't go to a Mercy hospital, which was built by Mercy nuns, send her kids to a school which were run by the Sisters of Saint Joseph? Like, I don't think people know that 25% of a lot of the infrastructure that we rely on was built by Catholic nuns in the United States.
Wow.
And that's just phenomenal. And they did it like when women really couldn't even be like my mom. So if you would ever hear sisters and they had male names, Mother Angeline McCrory, who was the founder of our congregation, they had these names, male names, so that they could have some sort of authority, like in the 20s and the 30s. We take so much for granted, but it's a matter of honoring the hard work of these ladies and the commitment. They did it for a vow of poverty, right? And I'm like, that's just amazing. They did it out of love, and we have to preserve it. And so I am so honored and privileged to really see the sisters get behind this concept and put our foot out there. And every single person we talk to thinks it's a good idea. And so I know that we're going to meet many, many needs. It's not only going to be senior services. Initially it will be, but we are setting up this organization so that we can look at autism services. Vicki, I know that's a cause that's so important to you and myself. And there's just many other services of where we're going to really recommit ourselves to ensure that this legacy continues of service.
So I know that in Bayside, Queens, you have Ozanam Hall, and in Palm Beach, what do you call that magnificent? I was so blown over and impressed with your facility in West Palm Beach. So tell
Yes,
me
Lourdes.
about the actual services you supply.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm currently at Lourdes and Arima Keene residence for a board meeting today, and it's beautiful outside and it's
West
beautiful
Palm Beach,
inside.
I'm jealous.
Yes. But we provide independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing, and they have a very active arts program here, which I think is just outstanding. I was walking down the hallway today and I just love peeking in to see like what these 93, 94, 98-year-old ladies and gentlemen are painting. It's amazing. They paint in acrylic, but it's just beautiful to see that the work that they're producing, there's high level of engagement here and high quality. And the same thing with Ozanam Hall. And we're really working very hard to get our story out about Ozanam Hall, but that's been a fixture in the community for so many years. And there's just this life that when you go in and you see the level of engagement with the employees. And what made my day, Vicki, was when I was walking back from the restaurant last night, I saw this gentleman who was sitting out at Lord's. And I went over just to chat with him for a moment. And he was the maintenance man from Ozanam Hall. And he's
Oh.
living in our facility in the independent living and just went on and on about Sister Philip, who you kind of featured in that Ozanam Hall article. So thank you for that. He was so excited about that article and just glowing. And so yeah, it's really, really nice to see it go full circle because here's somebody who worked for our organization for 15 years. And we have people who have worked for us for 30, 40 years. They start out as dishwashers and go the whole way up to being department heads and administrators in training and all kinds of things. So it really made me very happy.
So that leads me right into the question about your opportunity for the public for jobs, because I know that's another part of your mission is to be training, you know, to enlarge your staff with people from the community. Can you talk a little bit about what you're thinking about now?
Absolutely. You know, there's so much need for regrowing the healthcare workforce because we all know that the past several years has been very, very challenging and really a lot of individuals are burnt out. But we have to also step back and thank the people. We just had the Healthcare Heroes event, Vicki, and thank you for attending and hosting and offering that, which we sponsored. But the reason why we did that was not to only acknowledge the 40 years since Mother Angeline's death, but also the importance of rebuilding and honoring those employees who show up every day, those healthcare workers who show up every day. So as part of the Carmelite system, we're really working on new training programs, but we also have specific programs called Roots of Caring that was developed by Sister Peter Lillian. And it really reinforces the charism, which is like the values of the sisters. And they've been working very hard on guiding principles. And it's really just about love. The difference is love. And we're trying to be a beacon of hope. And so those are really the taglines of how everything just kind of sparks off. But some of our facilities have training programs where you can come in and be trained as a CNA and they will pay you some of your tuition for you. And then we also have an awful lot of interest in trying to develop LPNs into RNs. It's really a crisis that we're going to be facing, but it's not just our healthcare entity, it's all healthcare entities. So I will advocate for all venues of healthcare because it's the entire continuum that keeps our society as healthy as we are. And we all have to commit to keeping it healthy.
So the job opportunities fascinates me because I know even in the group homes that my life's work runs, this has been a crisis of enrollment. How can you give people the website? Where can people go if they're interested in being engaged and gaining a certificate, gaining education to be involved as an employee in the Carmelite system?
So we have Lord Snorri McKean residence. So if you just go out and type out Lord Snorri, or you Google us, or you search for us in Indeed, we're very active in Indeed. We also are putting a lot of our advertisements in some of the Schneps Media papers. So we're very actively engaged and we just have a QR code that you just look through the paper and take a picture of the QR code and it'll take you right to where you can apply for our organization and learn about all the opportunities. And we are very engaged because we are now building our census back at Ozenham Hall. So we're in a growth mode. We just refreshed all of our rates and we have great union benefits there. So I really would encourage, you know, the staff in the New York area to really look at Ozenham Hall in Queens because it is a very special place. And, you know, it was shown in that recent article too, Vicki. I just think you captured it so well when you see the sisters engaged with and all of the employees engaged with our residents. It's a very, very special place. It's not a job. It's a career. It's beautiful.
I wanted to make the point that now you're looking for civilians. You know, nuns are not the only ones that are going to be able to have the numbers of people that are coming to your wonderful facilities. So it's really the general public that now is being invited to apply for positions. So I think, you know, with the nuns aging out, it's, you know, you need to replace them. And it's a wonderful thing that the communities have this opportunity. But, you know, I want to share with the listeners, you know, your success is you skyrocketed to success as the CEO. Not many women have broken that glass ceiling, and you have. And I wonder what advice you can give to my listeners about how can they be a power woman? What does it take to be successful? And you're looking back, what would you be saying are some of the keys to success?
There's a couple. The first one is, and I think it's kind of what I talked about with my mom, you have to have eyes to see. So you have to see where there's a problem, where there's an opportunity, and you have to have the courage to lean in and fix it. And I think, Miss Vicki, you did the same thing. But I think that that's a really important thing, because if you're only inward focused and you're not focusing outside and seeing the opportunities, and having the self-confidence that you can make an impact, a positive impact, and know that sometimes you'll fail, but you can always get up and keep trying and moving forward. I think that that's really important. Another really key component, I think, and it's a really important one to me, is integrity. And it's integrity to myself, but it's also my integrity to others, so that you can establish a sense of trust. But it's also in all your business dealings. In the end, you got to really reflect and say, okay, if I do this the right way, then, you know, where will that get me? And why am I doing this? And is it additive, or is it something that's not really helpful? And so I think that you have to be measured in how you do that. Another big one is purpose. And I'm so focused on purpose right now. And I think my story is telling us, everybody, that, like, you know, you come in, you know, you want to work to healthcare, and you have people encouraging you or giving you concepts along the way. And sometimes you build off of other people's passion and not being afraid to carry that torch. Do you know Sister Caritas is still alive? She's 100 years old.
God bless.
And so I can hardly wait to let her know about Carith. But that is something that's really, really important, because you have to be willing to handle those things and really move them forward. Of course, I had a good education and I was a hard worker. You know, there were plenty of nights when I had to stay up at like till midnight putting in IT systems because I'm an accountant. But you bring projects to a completion and you make sure that you get and you lead others there. And I think as a leader, it's very important to be very approachable and understand that you have to listen more than just direct and meet the people where they are, because everybody, we all have this within us. And so you don't always have to be the CEO of the organization to be one of the most important people. As I told you with the maintenance man, I'm seeing all of this falling together. The pride that he had about what he did, because he understood that he was keeping those buildings safe for our residents. And he was so happy and proud of what he accomplished. So it's not always about being, you know, the CEO. I think what it's about is being who you are and who you were destined to become.
Well, I think it's a beautiful way to end our meeting together with the power woman, Trish Gather, CEO of the Carmelite System and on a great mission. Congratulations. And I know you will succeed, because that's what you do. You succeed. So thank you, everybody.
Okay. Thank you, Vicki. I really appreciate it. You are a rock star yourself.
Thank you. Till next time. Bye now.